Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the Voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for Words and Their Stories and People in America, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to As It Is. I'm Steve Ember in Washington. Officials in Japan have been studying ways to set rules for the digital currency known as Bitcoin. The investigation came after a leading Tokyo-based trading house closed suddenly. Today on the program, we tell how Bitcoin is growing in popularity, but also creating concerns. But first, we turn to international efforts to help poor people in Africa. Three United Nations agencies want the poor to become less dependent on aid. But critics are wondering if the UN efforts are having any success. Mario Ritter has more.
The agencies want financial services such as credit, savings, and insurance to be made available to everyone. That includes poor people in Africa's rural areas who may live on only $2 a day. The agencies believe that if these services reach the rural poor, their lives could improve greatly. Ertharin Cousin works for the World Food Program, one of the UN agencies involved in the effort. She says the World Food Program's goal is to create opportunity in agricultural production that continues after aid efforts end. The other agencies are the Food and Agriculture Organization and the International Fund for Agricultural Development. Representatives of the agencies were recently in Ethiopia, a densely populated country of more than 84 million people. But more than 80% of the population lives in rural areas. The FAO gave seeds and fertilizer to farmers. Local groups then buy what the farmers have grown with money that comes indirectly from the International Fund for Agricultural Development. And the World Food Program gives schools support so they can buy locally grown food to serve their students. Organizers hope the programs will help people live without aid. They say farmers and local groups called cooperatives want the program to succeed, so they are working together. Another part of the program teaches people how to manage their money. The agencies teach those living on a few dollars a day to use part of that money not for daily costs, but to save or invest. Queen Maxima is the UN's special advocate for financial inclusion. She says knowing how to manage and save money is important if people want to support themselves.
Eventually, it should come from savings. Eventually, you should unleash domestic savings because of the domestic resources that should be put back into productive loans so that, you know, people can actually make the investment, grow the production, increase employment, etc., etc.
Ethiopia does not have a strong financial services industry. Only 8% of the population saves money in a bank. While mobile banking has helped the rural poor in other African countries, Ethiopia has only recently permitted mobile banking. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Steve Ember. You're listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. An ever-growing number of people are using Bitcoin to buy goods, pay for services, or send money anywhere in the world. They do not have to use traditional banks, credit cards, or other financial services when they use the electronic currency. Our economics reporter, Mario Ritter, has more.
Bitcoin is electronically protected, or encrypted. It is bought, sold, and transferred, like other currencies, through trading companies. Transfers happen without governments being involved or regulating the currency. Jerry Brito is a technology policy analyst at George Mason University. He says Bitcoin is the world's first true digital currency that is not controlled by anyone.
Bitcoin is basically solved a computer science problem that for the first time allows just two people to transact online. So it's decentralized. There is no Bitcoin company. There is no government. It's kind of like email.
However, the very things that people like about Bitcoin are also what criminals like about it. They want to move money from place to place secretly, without governments knowing about it. Law enforcement agencies in the United States recently closed an online market that used Bitcoin. Marco Santori is the chairman of the Bitcoin Foundation's Regulatory Affairs Committee. He notes that all Bitcoin transactions can be seen by all other computers, and he says the belief that no one regulates the currency is not true.
Bitcoin is, in fact, heavily regulated. It is very heavily regulated. Those who exchange bitcoins for other digital currencies or who exchange bitcoins for dollars are money transmitters under the Bank Secrecy Act.
The amount of Bitcoin in the system must always be counted and tracked. Users' computers that watch and approve Bitcoin sales and purchases are given new Bitcoins. Mr. Brito says this is how more money is added to the system.
Every 10 minutes, there are about 25.5 Bitcoins introduced into the economy. And it is given to one of the miners, kind of at random, as it were, who are contributing to computing capacity.
The United States, Germany, and many other governments accept the use of bitcoins, but some officials have called for stronger regulations on the electronic currency. China recently banned its banks, but not businesses, from trading in Bitcoin. Since its beginning in 2009, the value of a Bitcoin has increased from just a few pennies to hundreds of American dollars.
And that's our program for today. Be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for another As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember. Thanks for listening.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Thank you.
The VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. Bologna is a kind of sausage that many Americans eat often. The word also has another meaning in English. It is used to describe something, usually something someone says, that is false or wrong or foolish. Bologna sausage comes from the name of the Italian city Bologna. The city is famous for its sausage, a mixture of smoked, spiced meat from cows and pigs. But bologna sausage does not taste the same as beef or pork alone. Some language experts think this different taste is responsible for the birth of the expression bologna. Bologna is an idea or statement that is nothing like the truth, in the same way that bologna sausage tastes nothing like the meat that is used to make it. Bologna is a word often used by politicians to describe the ideas of their opponents. The expression has been used for years. A former governor of New York State, Alfred Smith, criticized some claims by President Franklin Roosevelt about the successes of the Roosevelt administration. Smith said, "No matter how thin you slice it, it is still bologna." A similar word has almost the same meaning as bologna. It even sounds almost the same. The word is blarney. It began in Ireland about 1600. The Lord of Blarney Castle, near Cork, agreed to surrender the castle to British troops. But he kept making excuses for postponing the surrender. And he made them sound like very good excuses. This is just more of the same blarney. The Irish castle now is famous for its blarney stone. Kissing the stone is thought to give a person special powers of speech. One who has kissed the blarney stone, so the story goes, can speak words of praise so smoothly and sweetly that you believe them even when you know they are false. A former Roman Catholic bishop of New York City, Fulton Sheen, once explained, "Bologna is praise so thick it cannot be true, and blarney is praise so thin we like it." Another expression is pulling the wool over someone's eyes. It means to make someone believe something that is not true. The expression goes back to the days when men wore false hair or wigs, similar to those worn by judges today in British courts. The word wool was a popular joking word for hair. If you pulled a man's wig over his eyes, he could not see what was happening. Today, when you pull the wool over someone's eyes, he cannot see the truth. This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Marilyn Cristiano. I'm Warren Shear.
Thank you. Now, the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Today, Shirley Griffith and Steve Ember finished the story of the life of Paul Robeson. He was a singer and international political activist.
By the late 1920s, Paul Robeson had become the most highly praised black actor and singer of the time. During the 1930s, he became involved in national and international movements for peace, equal rights for black Americans, and better labor conditions. He traveled around the world singing his songs to support these struggles. However, his friendship with the Soviet Union brought strong opposition from conservative groups in the United States. Many people in the United States opposed Robeson's political beliefs as too liberal or extreme. As early as 1941, American government agencies, led by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, reportedly had targeted him as dangerous. They considered his political activism to be against the best interests of the American government.
During World War II, the United States and the Soviet Union were allies fighting against Nazi Germany. Robeson recorded several Russian songs to honor the Soviet people's defense of their land against the Nazi invasion. These recordings were broadcast in the Soviet Union. Many Soviet soldiers were said to have heard Paul Robeson's voice before going into battle. This is one of those songs. It is called Native Land.
Сира страна моя родная, много лесов полей рек, я другой такой страны не знаю, где так вольно дышит человек, я другой такой страны не знаю, где так вольно дышит человек. Everywhere life courses freely, broadly, as the Volga's ample waters flow. To our youth now every door is open, everywhere our old with honor go. Everywhere throughout our mighty Union, all our peace.
After World War II, relations between the United States and the Soviet Union became tense. In the late 1940s, Americans feared communism as a threat to their way of life. The people in the Soviet Union were denied the freedoms that Americans enjoyed. The United States joined with other nations to try to halt the spread of communism around the world. In addition, the crimes of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin became public. These included the killing of millions of people in the Soviet Union who opposed his policies. As a result, many former American supporters of communism stopped supporting the Soviet Union.
Robeson, however, continued to support the Soviet Union. He still believed in the idea of communism. And he believed in friendship between the United States and the Soviet Union. A congressional committee began investigating Americans who supported communism or who were friends of people who supported it. The committee questioned Robeson. He refused to say if he was a communist. Robeson saw the questioning as an attack on the democratic rights of everyone who worked for international friendship and for equality.
Robeson also was condemned in the United States because of his criticism of the United States government. He spoke at the World Peace Conference in Paris in April 1949. He was reported to have said he did not believe black Americans would fight for the American government that oppressed them against the Soviet Union. This statement brought a strong reaction against him from some people in the American press, government, and public. It led to rioting at a concert in New York State where Robeson was to appear. Hundreds of people were injured when crowds threw stones at people attending the concert.
In 1950, the American State Department withdrew Robeson's travel document because of the political ideas he expressed. This prevented him from leaving the United States to perform in other countries. The State Department said his travel to other countries would not be in the best interest of the United States. Robeson also was barred from performing in many places in the United States. His concerts were canceled. His records were withdrawn from stores. Record companies refused to produce new recordings of his songs. Robeson said the actions against him were attempts to silence artistic expression. He said they were attempts to control whom people could hear and what they could hear.
In 1952, the Mine, Mill, and Smelters Workers Union of British Columbia, Canada, invited Robeson to attend its yearly meeting. Americans do not need a passport to enter Canada. But the United States government barred him from entering Canada anyway. So the union invited him to sing at an outdoor concert in the United States. The concert was held at Peace Arch Park. The park is in the northwestern state of Washington, on the border between the United States and Canada. Robeson sang to more than 30,000 people in both countries. Here is a recording from that concert. Robeson sang a famous labor union song called Joe Hill.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe, says I, am standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead, says Joe, but I'm dead.
Robeson performed at another outdoor concert at Peace Arch Park the following year. At the end of the program, Robeson spoke to the thousands of people attending. He promised to continue the fight for freedom as long as he could. Here is part of that speech.
My people are determined in America to be not second-class citizens, to be full citizens, to be first-class citizens, and that is the rock upon which I stand. From that rock, I reach out, as I say, across the world, to my forefathers in Africa, to Canada, all around the world, because I know that there is one humanity, that there is no basic difference of race or color, no basic difference of culture, but that all human beings can live in friendship and in peace. I know it from experience. I have seen the people. I have learned their languages. I sing their songs. And I go about America, wherever I may go, seeking a simple thing. It seems so simple that all people should live in full human dignity and in friendship.
1958 was an important year for Paul Robeson. He regained his passport that year after a Supreme Court ruling on a similar case. The Supreme Court ruled that the State Department could not withhold passports of American citizens because of their suspected beliefs or the groups they joined. A book he wrote about his life, Here I Stand, also was published. And that same year, he performed in a concert at the famous Carnegie Hall in New York. It was his first appearance there in 11 years. Every seat in the hall was filled. Paul Robeson sang an African-American spiritual called Didn't My Lord Deliver. Here is a recording from that concert.
Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man? He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of the whale, and the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, and why not every man? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man?
Paul Robeson and his wife Essie moved to London, where he continued to sing and act. They also visited the Soviet Union often. In 1963, they returned to the United States. Paul Robeson was suffering from physical and mental problems. He retired from public life because of his bad health. Paul Robeson died in 1976 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In 1949, Paul Robeson had written these words: I shall take my voice wherever there are those who want to hear the melody of freedom or the words that might inspire hope in the face of fear. My weapons are peaceful, for it is only by peace that peace can be attained. The song of freedom must prevail.
You have been listening to the story of the life of singer and political activist Paul Robeson. This special English program was written by Shelley Gollist and produced by Lawan Davis. Your narrators were Shirley Griffith and Steve Ember. I'm Bob Doty. Listen again next week for another People in America program on the Voice of America.